If you have a Bible with you today, I'll try not to be long in my part of the service, but in Matthew 27, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you that's pressing on my heart today. If you're willing and able, if you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. I'd like to read one verse this morning, and then you can be seated. Matthew 27 and verse 22. Pilate asked probably one of the most vital questions in the Bible. He asked not only an individual question, but he asked an eternal question. It's very important that you get this question right. It's very important that you not only get this question right, but you get the right answer to it. For Pilate to pose this question, Jesus now, the Bible says that Pilate is related to as the governor, the overseer. They brought the Lord Jesus unto him. Here the Lord's fixing to go to the cross and be crucified for your sin and my sin. And now Pilate asked this Bible question in Matthew 27 and 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank You for the soberness and the preciousness of the Spirit of God this morning. I want to thank You for these young people that have sang. God, I want to thank You for each individual that has sang this morning. And Lord, we realize that You're the high and the lofty One. Lord, there's no way a man in this world could preach this sermon to its capacity. But I pray this morning You'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God. And Lord, if it'd be one here that knows You not by the grace of God, I pray this would be the day that they could receive You as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and settle all eternity for them in their heart. Help us this morning. I'm a needy preacher. And Lord, I ask that the Spirit of God would help me and teach me in these last days of preaching that of how to magnify the precious Son of God. Help me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen. And amen. I want to use Matthew 27. It's one of the most lengthy chapters in all of the Bible. There is 66 verses in the Gospel of Matthew 27. But this morning I want to deal with some people that appears in this chapter, and let's see what they did with this eternal question. As Pilate asked this question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" I want to ask you today, as just an old country preacher, what have you done with Jesus? And then secondly, what are you doing with Jesus? This morning you'll notice, first of all, there's a Bible character in verses 1 and 2. We find out that some people love to bind Jesus. For it said, when the morning was come, and all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death, and when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. There's a lot of folks that want to bind Jesus. I'm glad that I don't bind Jesus in a service. We need Jesus to have the right of way in every service that we gather at Liberty Baptist Church. There's a lot of people have Jesus bound by their policies and by their procedures and by their religion and their politics. But let me tell you something. Jesus, it'd do good to set Him free in your life this morning and let Him be exactly what He can be to you in your heart and in your life. Oh, and it's so sad that some people want to bind Jesus. Reminds me of the politicians of this hour. They have no problems with you believing in God. But when you draw a line in the sand and say, I'm a Christian and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that brings it to a new level. They want you to hush about Jesus. And let me tell you, our country's trying to bind Jesus, but I'm glad there's still some blood-washed people that realize where Jesus needs to be, high and lifted. For the Bible said, if He'd be lifted up, He'd draw all men unto Him. This morning, some people want to bind Jesus. You'd be surprised at leadership in churches that won't give the pastor the leadership and the oversight as the Bible gives him to let Jesus have the free reign of the ministry. Let me tell you something. I thank God for people. But people don't run me. And so I'm going to tell you this morning, if you don't like Jesus preaching, you're in the wrong church this morning. A lot of people love to bind Him and keep Him tied down, but oh, we need to set Him free in our life and in our services and let Him be the God that He wants to be in our lives and our hearts. Secondly, what shall I do with Jesus? Well, this question is opposed. Not only in this passage do you find that some people bind Jesus, but you'll notice secondly in verse number 3, there's some people that betray Jesus. A character comes up named Judas. He was one of the 12 disciples. He sat the closest to Christ, but I don't want to use you in the Word of God. If you will study the Word of God, you'll become balanced in the Word of God. For in John's Gospel, chapter number 6, Jesus told them individually, He said, there are some here that do not believe. Judas was around Jesus, but he did not believe Him. And Judas set his price on Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, you say you love God, be careful not to put a price on Jesus. The devil will be sure that you get your price. The Bible said then Judas, in verse 3, which had betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. Here is no godly repentance. But he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You say, preacher, where is Judas today? Well, the Bible tells us that Judas is in hell this morning. And just because that you are acquainted with Jesus don't mean that you're going to heaven today. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? There's a lot of people know about Jesus. Judas knew about Jesus. But here we find in Matthew 27, not only did we find someone binding Jesus, but now we find somebody betraying Jesus. Be careful not to sell out Jesus. Don't put your price on Him. I've heard people say, well, you know, if God will give me a good home, I'll serve Him. If God will give me a good wife, I'll serve Him. If God will give me a good job, I will serve Him. Well, let me ask you, if these things don't come to pass, will you still serve Him? We need to serve Him because we love Him, not for what He brings to us. What He's done for us on an old rugged cross. You see, many times Jesus has been sold out. This morning, be careful not to put your price on Jesus, because the devil will be sure that your price will be paid if you'll betray Jesus. Now, isn't it amazing that he never did get to spend any of the silver? The devil is the master at trickery and lies. The devil will promise you many things, but Jesus is the only one that keeps His promises this morning. And therefore, in this passage, what shall I do with Jesus? You'll notice there's some that wanted to bind Him. There's some here in this passage that betrayed Him. And I want to say something. The older I get in the Lord, God help me not to betray Jesus. I want to be a man of integrity, a man of my word, a man of standards, a man of Bible policies and Bible procedures. And it doesn't matter what the pressures of this world offer me. God help me not to sell out Jesus out of my heart and my life. I wonder this morning what's in the balances of your life. You're trying to weigh the matters. Can I tell you that you can have Jesus and be successful? Can I tell you that you can have Jesus and be prosperous? But the mainstay in your heart and your life, you need Jesus as your Savior and as your friend. Thirdly, this morning, not only in this question, what shall I do with Jesus, but you'll find there's some that wanted to bind Him. There's some that wanted to betray Him. But then in verse 11, I found this a lot in pastoring for years. There's some that wants to blame Him. The Bible said in verse number 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Let me tell you something. You ought to not blame nothing on Jesus. Jesus is the greatest friend that you would ever have. Jesus will see about you when everybody else walks off the scene. And a lot of people accuse Him. They blame Him of their problems. Let me tell you something. It's not your problem with Jesus this morning. It's your problem with you. The Bible instructs us. So we must live our lives according to the Word of God the best that we can. Sure, we all make mistakes. We're human. And aren't you glad there's a verse in the Bible says that if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't blame God on what's happened in your life. Realize that God makes no mistakes. Life is very hurtful. I noticed this morning as some people was at the altar praying, I began to think about how hard life is. But let me tell you something. The only thing we can blame Christ about is that He loved us. And He went to an old rugged cross and died for every one of us. And I'm thankful this morning. I don't want to blame Him, but I want to brag on Him and say, dear God, thank You that I've not got what I deserved. God's been good to me. And I thank Him this morning. Pilate asked this question, what shall I do with Jesus? We find some that wanted to bind Him. Some that would betray Him. We see here in our text some that want to blame Him. But then in verse 15, you'll notice there are some that are bothered by Him. There was Pilate's wife. The Bible said in verse 15 of Matthew 27, now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, and whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. He was a murderer. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, here's our fault, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. She was bothered by him. I'm glad that I have a God that lives in me
When I do wrong and I lay down, He bothers me about my sin. Thank God, before I got saved, I could do anything I wanted to. I had a little conscience. I was raised right. But let me tell you, sin didn't really bother me. I enjoyed it. But when I got saved, honey, there was somebody moved in my life. And now when I sin and I do wrong, God lays down with me and bothers me in my heart about the situation. I want to tell you, you ain't got to lay down tonight and get up in the morning and be bothered. You can get it handled this morning at the foot of the cross, for Jesus will take you all today in this hour. Boy, aren't you glad we serve a God that can lay down by you and stir the bed that you lay in. I remember years ago back over here, little old country church in the pine thicket, a Sandy Flat Baptist Church. That old man of God come to my house on Saturday and he told me about Jesus. He asked me a question Brother Mike, a man had never asked me in all of my religion experiences. He looked at me and he said, I want to ask you, are you saved? Nobody had never asked me, was I saved? Brother Lee, the moment he said that, the Spirit of God began to convict me and bother me. And that old man of God walked out of that little trailer that Saturday morning. But the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me in my life, God stayed and He laid down in the bed with me and He got up with me the next morning. I went out of that old church house, honey. I was on the third bench from the front. He gave an invitation, and when my foot did this, God saved an old sinner. And I'm glad God can bother you in the bed in this day. In this hour. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you just going to live your whole life bothered with Him? Bothered by Him. I love it when He stirs in the church. That don't bother me. I welcome it. I love the presence of God. God is my friend. He's not my enemy. Some of you are so scared of God. If you know Him by His Son, you can become His friend this morning. I respect, I fear God. But let me tell you something. God is my friend. God has been good to me. And I bless Him this morning. But I'm not bothered about Him. What's going on? Are you bothered with what's going on in your life? Don't you understand? You can go to church till you turn into a column. It's not going to do you any good till you meet Jesus in your heart. You can be baptized, every catfish in the river knows you by name. That water will not wash away your sin, but honey, the blood from Calvary can set you free this morning. What shall I do with Jesus? We see there's some that wanted to bind Him. There's some that wanted to blame Him. There's some that wanted to betray Him. Here we find some that were bothered by Him. In verse 22, back to this question, you'll find there's some that's very bold with Him. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to Him, let Him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil hath He done? For they cried out the more, saying, let Him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made or disturbance was made, he took water, look at your Bibles, and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. There's a problem with this passage about him being very bold. He rejected Jesus instead of receiving Jesus. And I want you to know this morning the stain that he had. Water could not wash it away. He said, I'll wash my hands with this.
But did you know through 2,000 years, Pilate has had the name and the influence in Matthew 27 of where he had a decision to make with Christ, and he handed him over to a howling mob to be crucified. He might have thought he would get rid of it by washing his hands, but honey, let me tell you, there's some things water won't wash off this morning. Lastly, I've never noticed this Bible character much. He does much to study. Matter of fact, there's two Bible characters in here. I'm going to deal with one. They both appear for the first time in the pages of our Bible at these crucifixion Gospels. One is Simeon coming out of the country. They laid on him the cross of Jesus. We never hear about Simeon again. I'm not going to deal with him this morning, but I'm going to close this sermon with this last thought about this other Bible character that comes up and raises in the pages of Matthew 27. You see, what shall I do with Jesus? Some are bothered by Him. Some are bold against Him. But then lastly, in verse 57, some beseech Him. The Bible says something about this character that he comes on the pages of the Bible, and as fast as he comes on the pages, he leaves. The Bible instructs us in Matthew 27:57 that simply when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. Or Joseph of Arimathea, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Underline that. I want to say something about it. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Megan, I want you and Miss Emily to sing that song for invitation this morning. Y'all sang together if you'd get ready, please. The Bible said, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Okay, preacher, what you thought? There's some that beseech him. Now look what happens in the passage. The Bible said that he went in verse 58 and he begged the body of Jesus. Then in verse 60, the Bible said he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Preacher, what you thought about that? Well, I want to say this first of all about Christ. Christ had no sin of his own. Therefore, Christ had no death of his own. The reason you and I are going to die, because we have sinful bodies. We're in a sin-cursed world. When Adam did that in the garden, it's been handed all the way through our ancestral line. And therefore, we're all going to lay these bodies down. And it's because of one reason. Sin has reigned in the bodies since Adam. Christ never knew sin. He never had sin, therefore, it never was where He had to die. But let me tell you how good He is. He come to die. He come to take your place. Now, here's the gist of this. Some beseech Him. Here's a rich man, the Bible said, Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich man, and the Bible says that he was one of the disciples of Jesus. I want to tell you, there are some folks that we will never know about, but Jesus knows about them. We wonder a lot of times, well, why don't we hear of them? Why aren't they doing this? Let me tell you something. We should not be the judge and jury. Jesus knows where all of His disciples are this morning. So all of a sudden he steps up, and this is the thought. The tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had dug out of that rock. He was going into that tomb himself. But he went and got Jesus to go into it for him. And I want to tell you this morning, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart about this last night. I'd never seen this. How many times, Brother Lee, am I looking to go into a grave, something that is facing me that absolutely will consume me and overwhelm me and keep me? Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning if you've seen that in your life coming your way and you reached and got Jesus and took Him to it this morning? See, Jesus, I take your place. And only Jesus can take your place. I got to thinking, Lord, many times I see this big dark tomb. And Lord, the Bible said it was hewn out of a rock. It really was just a prison house. A lot of times the devil will tell me those things that I'm facing in my life. You're going into the tomb and there's no help for you, young man. But you know what I do by faith, just like Joseph did? I reach and I grab Jesus by faith. And I put Him in the place that's going to consume me. And this morning, I don't know what you're facing. But Jesus can help you. Now, I'm done preaching and I want to say this about Pilate's question. He asked this question in Matthew 27. And he said, what shall I do with Jesus? Now, I want to turn that around. I want to make this statement as your preacher this morning. Not only what will you do with Jesus, but listen to me. What's Jesus going to do with you? There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. The Bible says you must be born again. I don't care how good you think you are. Good's not good enough. You must be washed in the blood. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart. Repent of your sins. And Jesus can fill your dying place this morning. I've got a cabin there where we live. Sometimes I go out across the drive. I walk in that cabin, Hunter, where you got saved the other Saturday. I walk in that place and I say, Lord, there's an awful picture in front of me mentally. God is so big. And Lord, would you fill that place and help me with it? And then I get up. By faith, I've reached and I've got a hold of Christ. And I put Him in that place that I think is going to consume me and hold me. And He sets me free. He can ease your mind this morning. I was at a church 2 weeks ago. A man walked up to me out of the blue and he said, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. He said, I'd like to know something specifically that I could pray for you about. And I said, that's real easy. Pray for my mind. For that's the battlefield. I know I'm saved. I know that I know. Many times, Brother Mark, the devil will paint me a big picture of gloom. You're going in that. And there's no hope for you. But I'm glad I know Christ. I can take Him in those sealed places. Those hard places of stone. And only He can do for me what I need done. This morning, our ladies are going to sing. I want to open these altars up. I don't know what you need. But I would like to ask you this question as I preached on. What are you going to do with Jesus? He loves you, young people. He died on the cross for you that you could live and go to heaven and be eternally saved. What a joy to be saved. Christians, it's a battle. Life is a battle. But if you've got God with you, I said if you got God with you, God will let you go places that you can't go by yourself. You need help this morning, you come. If you need to be saved, me and Brother Mike will pray with you. Brother Adam, many men will pray. Maybe individually you've got a great need in your life. You're facing a dark place. The devil's got you convinced. You made your own grave. God can fill it this morning. While we sing, oh, be